Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Michael Shannon's favorite film.
This
Which
Alphaville.
you have to do the intro in the voice.
Let me just get bronchitis first. Sure.
Yeah,
That's the other thing. I don't speak French.
Blithering
I can't, Anthony. Can you do that voice? I can't do that Frenchy, like frog. Not Frenchy. It's like a
Well,
big
it was
frog
done by
accent.
a guy with a fucking, like, one of those electronic throat things, so
Just
that's
French,
why you
mate.
can't.
Don't think anyone smoked enough cigarettes ever.
Salut, bon vienu. Is that a word? Don't know any
Sort of.
French. Bon
You could have
voyage.
just said bonjour.
No, but it's not
Bon bloody
necessarily the
jour, Rodney. Mange tout.
ou knife and fork. What? The thing is, I don't know French, so can't speak French in the intro. Bold to try, really. Hello, welcome to Spoiler Film Conversation. Hooray! Sorry, what's sorry? What's sorry in French? Le sorry.
Desolé?
Pardon?
Desolé?
Mandrougeni? Oh, wait.
That Welsh? What's happening?
Yeah.
God, that's the worst intro I've ever done. And you should do it like a low voice, just like, hello, hello. Welcome to Spoilerfield Film Conversation, hello.
I was going to do that for the whole episode.
Oh, Rene. Oh, Alpha 60 doesn't roll off the tongue. Right,
Funnily
anyway.
enough, you stupid woman does fit this film fairly well.
You stupid woman slash possibly robot. Oh, Zutello. Oh, anyway, hello. Hello. This is the podcast. I'm Richard. With me is Anthony.
Sure.
Well, that sounded far too smoky. One more go.
Hello.
That's good.
I'll
That's good.
get you, Gadget.
And Jamie.
Yeah, bonjour, bon bloody jour.
Look, you said it like Father Christmas from Father Christmas. What does he say? Blue me neck.
Blooming Christmas.
Stick it up your fucking pipe. And dead-eyed robot lady happy.
Hello. I am fine. Do not worry about
Do you want me to bathe you?
Oh, shit. What's the grief thing?
I was close. I wasn't
Oh.
quite right, but I was close.
Yeah. It was one of the things I did like about it was that they all say this really odd collection of like generic greeting terms to each other.
Anyway, on the pod, we chat about films. Abby picked the film this week. Abby, can you give the details? Starting now, don't use the weird Alpha 60 voice. It will be too upsetting and set me off coughing. Just hearing that voice made me go, oh, my throat's going. I need a fucking Clavonia.
This week we're watching Alphaville, A Strange Adventure of Lemmy Caution. It's from 1965 and a French new wave science fiction neo-noir directed by Jean-Luc Godard. It stars Eddie Constantine, Anna Karina, Howard Vernon and Akin Tamarov. I can't tell you what this film is about because I don't know, even though I just watched it today. No idea.
Best guess, it's about a man figuring out what's going on in Alphaville. Weird. I think I'll change it by breaking things and stealing a woman. Hooray.
I mean,
Things are in
so
negative now. I think I've saved the day.
what you're saying is it's Blade Runner, basically. It's
Yeah.
like a man comes in, breaks some things, and takes a woman.
It did have vibes of Blade Runner. Obviously, it predates Blade Runner. And 1984, I think even like a little bit Metropolis. And It somehow does that while appearing not at all like a sci-fi.
It's basically some society has been taken over by an AI, and there's some politics going on between the outer countries and this AI-run society where emotion
isn't this
is
real life
outward.
Now? This is now. This is it's so prescient, isn't it?
That was like, actually one of the things I did think at a couple of points during this film. That I was
60
like, oh,
years
this
later.
This is a little bit spooky at this point, because it's like the AI is like changing the meaning of words to like keep people from understanding their emotions and controlling information. All that. There's lots of very high-minded themes going on in this film. But boy, howdy, is it not necessarily an exciting romp.
Anyway, Abby, why then Alphaville?
Oh, it's big and famous.
Critically acclaimed.
A lot of people like it. Critically acclaimed.
But what was that, sorry? It's what?
I tried to say critically acclaimed, but I've been all day I've just been having trouble speaking in general.
Can't speak French, can't speak English. It's no good, is it?
We should have tried the French, I might have done better.
I was just going to say it's Michael Shannon's favourite film, apparently.
Which I may have taken in on a subconscious level, but I wasn't consciously thinking of it.
Is it because the actor, Eddie Constantine, looks like he could be Michael Shannon's dad?
Yeah, if you're remaking it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Shannon, for sure. Big, burly, slightly more weathered face, but give it time with Michael Shannon, I guess. Anyway, yeah, so Abby, you were curious. Have you watched a bunch of New Wave French movies before, or what?
I have watched some, and I think this might be my last. I don't think I could take any more, to be honest.
Well, they're mostly just about young people smoking and having a good time doing crimes, you know. Wearing trench coats, being misogynistic, you know, running about Paris, having coffee. They're all, you know, much of a muchness, I think. This one at least is like, well, we're not going to change any of the aesthetics, but we're going to make it a sci-fi. Fuck it. Yeah, I've only seen a handful of New Wave myself. I quite like Band de Part, or however you're meant to say it without my accent. And I've watched Cleo from 5 till 7 recently. That was quite enjoyable for a story about a woman who thinks she might be dying of cancer and dealing with it. But there's lots of like, oh well, how did you not shoot the cameraman in the mirror in this film? You showed mirrors and glass all the time. This one does it as well. I'm like, fuck me, you know, loads of glass shots. We're not seeing the old cameraman. But that's a mild takeaway. Like, I've seen a few. They're all right. Sometimes they're a bit pretentious or too art house for me. This fell in that category. But I wasn't sure what it was going to be. It wasn't like, you know, it obviously feels a bit 1984 Blade Runner-y, but like, I didn't know that going in. Didn't know much about it. Hadn't heard of it. That's me. Anthony, have you heard of this or seen it before?
Yes, this is one I heard of before. Quite high expectations coming in. I'd heard like the most referenced is the fact that it's like a sci-fi without it being a sci-fi, essentially. Like the one fact I really knew about it was that it was a sci-fi, but it was like shot on like the streets of Paris as a sci-fi. And I was like, I'm curious. I'm like, you know, how stripped town can you take the term sci-fi where it's still a sci-fi, you know what I mean? So I was kind of curious about that.
Yes.
Although I'm kind of like in the same boat as you and Abby, where I have seen some French New Wave stuff, and I've not got on with it.
They got really good, striking black and white romantic, not romantic exactly, but like they got striking visuals, really good use of black and white, and like... there's definitely a lot in New Wave, especially you've got to think like it's changing how to think about cinema. It's sort of revolutionary.
Yeah,
it's hard to, watching them now, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, like at the time, you know, it would have been, you know, like you said, revolutionary. People watching this probably had their minds blown because, wow, I've never seen anything like this before, kind of thing. Yeah. And these days, there's a kind of less of a separation between art and entertainment when it comes to films. Like, I really feel like they've merged a lot more, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas this
sorry.
Really does feel like I don't really care about being entertaining. This is, I'm here to make you think.
Jimmy, had you watched a lot of New Wave cinema before watching this? Had you seen this before?
No and no. I feel like, of all of us, I'm probably the most pretentious. So you would assume I would have seen more French New Wave than I have, which I believe...
Not enough Exorcist connections for you, so you don't bother.
I mean, yeah, first problem. Although looking at the list of directors who have cited Godard as an influence on his Wikipedia page, it's basically everyone.
I just love his misogyny.
I mean,
really does it for me.
It's like Anthony was saying... and it, you know, it's like a known thing that, like, oh, look, there he is, William Friedkin in the list of directors, and David Lynch. So there we go, 2 points in the column for me.
I mean, I'm guessing Edgar Wright as well would have been a
sort
of shit.
He is one of those directors that is part of a revolution in cinema and the way people thought about cinema and what like film is. And yeah, like Anthony was saying, a lot of the techniques that would have been like revolutionary or very unusual or strange that he used have gradually just sort of become the language of film, even in really what you would consider, I guess, like mainstream cinema. So he's a very important director.
Sure.
And like artist, creative generally. The police are coming for me. I guess because I haven't seen enough French New Wave. here come the art police. I don't know if you can hear that in the background.
No.
Got really loud. There's a really loud siren. I understand the influence without having seen any of his films and finally seeing the film. It was definitely one of those like, oh yeah, kind of things. It was interesting for me because I am such a big fan of Blade Runner in particular, but also like generally slightly more offbeat sci-fi. It was interesting that we're all talking about or you were all talking about sci-fi that isn't necessarily framed as sci-fi and that is filmed in a more kind of contemporary setting like this is. It made me think a lot of A Clockwork Orange because that's also like a futuristic sci-fi-ish, but other than like costumes and some of the set design, it's very much like 70s UK.
Yeah, but there's like sci-fi set in the future, and then there's, you know, I don't expect people to spray everything silver and stick, you know, egg boxes to stuff and put on transparent visors. I don't like expect that, but it's the future, so we've made things look different and dystopian. But all there's like. This looks like the 60s in France. Like it
but
doesn't.
It never, the thing is, it doesn't. Know. It's in a similar way to Clockwork Orange and a few other things. It never says when it's set, so it is almost like it doesn't necessarily have to be set in the future. It's not necessarily futuristic sci-fi. It may just be like, what if the world was like this? Like it's more of an alternate.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense. You're right. It goes in a world where the future's become this. That's the way to sci-fi.
Yeah,
and
it's vague about the setting.
The best is within its limitations, mm-hmm. it's using all of the most modern architecture and building interiors it can. They can film in. They're trying to make it look contemporary and modern-ish, but I haven't seen anything look more like the time period it's in. So it's very
how
weird.
Long has it been? How long has it been since you've watched A Clockwork Orange? Because there is some fucking 70s shit in that film. But
that massive porcelain penis and stuff.
Exactly.
They wear cod pieces. That's something. People wear trilbies and raincoats. You know.
Well, it's also, that's the thing, though. It is a very deliberate mashup of film noir tropes and sci-fi ideas with some more kind of high-minded, like, philosophical ideas.
Oh, it's pretentious up the wazoo, yeah.
For the first half of this, I was like, is this a parody of, like, noir films?
Yeah.
It's not beyond them either, because there's a lot of Humphrey Bogart love in some of the other, like the film Breathless. The protagonist is kind of models himself on Humphrey Bogart, and I think it does love noir as a genre. That's the one part of cinema it doesn't want to destroy and rebuild as something new. But
well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, you think
it's
tongue in cheek.
Yeah, there's stuff like weird cuts to random objects and then like the music stings coming in at the wrong moment kind of thing.
So that's something I want to say right out of the gate. And I don't know if this, because I don't know a ton about this film and I've never seen it before. I don't know if this is considered blasphemy, but the music in this film annoyed the shit out of me.
It's one of the many things that annoyed the shit out of me.
I mean, it was essentially the same phrase repeated over and over again.
Mostly, I was okay with this film. I kind of enjoyed it, kind of didn't, but I didn't hate it. You know, I again, am probably the most pretentious of us, so I was the one sitting there going, yes, quite. But fuck, every time the music stings would come in, it's so loud. And I that is partly a thing of like, not this. That's why I think it is tongue in cheek, because this is like 65, is it?
Yeah, 65. Yeah.
And like that type of like obnoxiously loud, sudden, dramatic music is very much a thing in like 40s American cinema, in you know like film noir, and it's one of the things that does annoy me about film noir. Like as much as I do like that music in like isolation, the way it's used in a lot of those films, it's like it fucking blares over everything. It's like how like action scenes in films now are 10 times louder than the dialogue. Like I'm gonna have a fucking seizure if this carries on.
Yeah, sure. Like it's more than just the sound that's challenging though, isn't it? I mean, really, it's impenetrable.
Okay.
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't agree.
Let's penetrate then, shall we?
There are moments.
Oh, it's fairly simple. Certainly. Okay. Here's my quick interpretation of it as it stands. A man. See, this is the thing. There's no context for anything, which is fine. You can give us context as we go. But, like, we're already dealing with a limitation of we can't make anything look like a sci-fi, so we're turning it into an art house virtue. So that's already like, well, doesn't look like a sci-fi, but it's meant to be one in an odd guess of what the future could be like.
Do you get annoyed at Star Wars because at the beginning it says a long time ago?
What? No, because there's robots. It's obvious it's a different type. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's the past, so it can't have robots.
It's not. I don't think this film ever establishes that it's set in the future. It's just some kind of alternate take on.
Yeah, it's set in the future because they back reference when, like, the 60s was.
The future in, like, it's not set in, like, the far off year of 2010.
There's literally. I could give a fuck when it's set, but it's. It doesn't it took like you could watch the whole film and be like, wait, is it on the same planet as Earth or not? Like, it's okay. This is what happens in the film. A man goes to a metropolis. He's from outside of a sort of city or whatever. He's from the, what do they call it, the outer countryside or something. Is it Outlands?
Outer countries.
Outer countries. He's from out elsewhere where there isn't some sort of, I want to say, computer overlord. Don't know for sure. But a man in a hat and a coat comes to a hotel pretending to be a journalist and is investigating, I don't know why, the situation with, like, he's got his job. He's a spy, I guess. He's a spy, and he's right. It's not entirely obvious, but yeah, it does clarify as it goes on. So a secret agent is looking for a man who has set up basically a computer that is running the metropolis or the city or the, you know, the futuristic city of Alphaville or Alpha. Is it the computer's called Alpha 60, right? And the place. Yeah. The precinct is called Alphaville.
Yes.
And he says he falls in love with, a enslaved prostitute woman / robot lady and proceeds to take down the establishment by wandering in, taking photos, having chats with people and shooting the random people who attack him every now and again.
So and casually. That's the thing that
I did enjoy
me the most.
I enjoyed the extremely casual violence that he enacts towards the end of the film.
The artsy implication of violence as well. It's not even like, oh, it's so weird with its. It's not like conventional choreographed violence. It's we're gonna like imply it through editing.
We're gonna have him bounce back and forth in a lift and
like a ping pong ball in.
I was so
pong.
Oh god.
I was so depressed by then, I couldn't laugh.
That was one of the funny bits, though. Yeah, so a spy comes and takes down the supercomputer. Does he fuck? He bamboozles it and shoots it? I don't know.
Yeah, he does the... I swear there's like 12 episodes of Star Trek, the original series, and probably some Twilight Zone episodes where this happens as well, where... you tell a computer a riddle and it can't figure out the logic, so it just like self-destructs. Like it's that basically.
Oh
like,
yeah, I can think of at least two episodes.
Yes.
Star Trek that happened.
And it's essentially like the computer's thing is logic is more important than feeling. So that's why there's no poetry, there's no literature, there's no art. It's like, no. That's why everything looks very, like, rigid and straight and plain, because this computer that runs the place is like, no, I am acting in service of the greater good, which means we have to ignore all emotion and like, abstract thinking. We have to think logically so that we can survive. And then this guy comes in and is like, well, that's a bunch of bollocks, because, like...
I like poems and...
Yeah, you're not really alive unless
universe.
You're like, yeah. And then
yeah, but he doesn't say, he just fucking walks around and does stuff, though. He doesn't have a character so much as...
Yes, well, it is a French New Wave film, so walking around and doing stuff without any seeming purpose is very important. but like, yeah, effectively, I think it is what has become... probably partly because of this film and like the literature it's based on, a fairly common like trope in sci-fi, to the point where I'm pretty sure it's been like parodied and stuff. Like I swear there's a direct Futurama parody of this idea of like telling it, like giving an AI some kind of like emotional conundrum that it cannot process because it doesn't have the depth of like emotional intelligence that a human does, and that's effectively what happens in this and causes it all to collapse. And then suddenly at the end of the film, everyone's feeling emotions again and is acting like they've been fucking loaded up with Molly and is rubbing the walls and having a great time as they all apparently die. I guess
I just sort of wobble about like they're in a music video and trying to one up Jamiroquai or something. I don't know. Fuck, Anthony, do you disagree anyway with our takeaway that this is that is that the general plot? Would you
our
say of this?
Takeaway, by the way, the end. Bye.
No, but would Anthony, do you agree with my summing up of what I thought happened of what is essentially a philosophical wank piece about about logic versus art or whatever?
No, I mean you're right. You've got the main themes of it, which you know the film isn't like I'm going to tell you everything right at the beginning.
We're going to talk a fuck ton though. We're never going to stop talking.
But by the end, by the end, I like watching it as an experience. It wasn't wonderfully engaging, but by the end, you know, I got it. It's like okay, yeah. I know what you were trying to say, and I know what you were going for, and I get it. You know,
it's the important lesson of, oh, don't let the computers run everything, because real life lies in art and love and poetry and all that shit. Oh no.
Yeah, but which these days seems a bit, you know, hokum, because we've seen it so many times. You know, oh, technology is taking over.
Yes,
you know us. How we're being dehumanized by
AI is making art now, and everything is more relevant than ever.
So I was actually going to bring that up, but seriously, not facetiously, it was weird watching this now with the current debate going on about like AI being able to create art, but using actual human artists' pieces and like mashing them together to make something else, and how like.
Five-fingered sluts who can't stand up straight.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, six-fingered. Five would be correct there.
But I think, like, there is an interesting wrinkle to the plot of this now, and the plot of things that deal with similar themes in this idea that, like, what does it mean for people who make things creatively, like who write or make art or music, that we have gotten to a point where, like, especially with like a company that wants to like pump that stuff out and sell it, is like, well, what the fuck are we gonna pay? Why would we pay a person to do that? We can just get the AI to do it. And like,
yeah, the trouble is with that thinking though is because of how AI makes art, you need artists to still make art, so you have fuel for the bonfire, if you know what I mean. Like, if people don't make artwork, then. For now, and then the AI can copy art it's already made, and we live in a humans never have to make art again. I'm not one of these people who sees a future where AI takes over all creativity and we had just become cows in the matrix.
It's not that
or whatever.
It's not that we won't do it, it's that the ways to make it your living and your income may go away, and then that's a whole other
debate. That was already, it's all the struggle, you know, it's always been, as a struggling artist who doesn't make anybody
that's true. Since when were the creative industries really that profitable for everyone?
I'm not saying they are, I'm just saying it'll probably get worse as AI is to do more of it.
Fingers crossed, I'll go mad like Van Gogh, and then I'll be famous and rich once I'm dead and don't know about it.
You're already
so I'm
rich.
Holding out for Anyway, Abby, let's go back to you. You picked it. You can start laying out your case for why it was a worthwhile movie watch. Go. You made this bet, so, you know.
It's not that. I came into this with really high hopes for this being interesting and weird. And
it was weird.
It was weird. I was not at all interested.
Well, you're not a misogynist, are you, who thinks of women as sex slaves and looks forward to seeing how the next woman is going to be treated?
That was probably the first problem, yes. We're also, like, we're at such a distance now from some of the references, even, that while I understood they were making a reference, it didn't mean anything to me. So it was just kind of like, they were really heavy handed as well. It's like Dr. Nosferatu.
Yeah, but The name Lemmy Caution is fantastic.
Yeah, it does
because
sound
it
like...
came up right at the start. I thought it was an actor's name. And I was like, yeah. There's an actor called Lemmy Caution in 1960?
Well, not only that, the actor who plays Lemmy Caution's name is Eddie Constantine. Like, there's just some great and terrible names floating around for this film.
Yeah, it does just sound like someone's leaning in and going, Lemmy Caution, you know.
I mean, if
those big computers from the 60s, don't trust them.
If I ever have pets again, one of them, whatever it is going to be called Lemmy Caution, and one of them is going to be called Dr. Nosferatu.
Well, the good thing about calling your pet Caution is shouting that in the street where you should call it. People be looking at you like, what's the matter with this guy?
I actually, fuck it, I might actually legally change my name to Dr. Nosferatu.
Anyway, this movie, it didn't grab you, Abby. So at what point were you like, oh, I'm not sure about this? Because it could have just been the first 15 minutes. You could be sitting there going, well, okay, it'll start to make sense eventually. Did you like our protagonist?
No.
Are you supposed to?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but it doesn't help at the same time.
So, yeah, it's not like a Blade Runner situation where you like him at first and then you start to question whether you're supposed to. It is more of a, you just don't like him from the start.
Yeah, I mean, he checks into a hotel and there's a really nice shot where he gets in the lift and the camera follows.
Yeah, that was really
him.
Impressive.
There's some nice, I mean, it's beautifully shot. Black and white is a real fucking shortcut to everything looking amazing. Like high contrast black and white. So yeah. To me, it's like anyone can make things look beautiful in black and white. I mean, the time limitation, you know, it's the 60s, you're shooting on black and white because you have to. But it's very well done, and there's some really imaginative shots and fun cinematography. But it's a little easier, isn't it, to do it when you've got black and white, isn't it? Like a cheat code.
The continuous shot of him, like, walking in, checking in, getting in the lift, the camera following the lift, like that, and also the times where a character would like gradually look directly at you, the viewer, and then would continue to deliver their lines while they were looking directly at you. I thought that was really striking as well.
I was going to say, I remember the bit where I was starting to think, I'm going to jump off this boat soon. There was a bit in the middle where, like, he goes into like a dark room, and then the voice of Alpha.
I like that. Poisson, of course, I fucking did.
Is just kind of like spewing some philosophy which I wasn't keeping up with, and at that point I was like, oh my god.
Oh, I felt like I was back in uni. I felt like I was back in university, having gotten up too early in the morning, sitting in a slightly too dark lecture room while one of my, you know, a cultural theory professor went into this really complicated, like, Jacques Derrida language lecture. And I was like, God, I don't know if I can stay awake.
So we
where there's like talking about words, but also like the words are drawings and there's diagrams about words. And I'm like, oh, fucking, I'm too stupid for this. This is like Bart the Genius.
And there was the bit at the end where like he says, like, why did you leave? And I was like, I didn't get it. And I was like, me neither.
There were lots of prescient lines where you're like, oh, yeah, me too. Like, anytime they were like, this is confusing, I was like, yeah.
It does, I do, like, he's not likable, but there were some times where Lemmy, which I can't say that without, it's just Lemmy from Motorhead in my mind.
You can call him Ivan Johnson if you like.
There you go. But there were times where he was relatable because he arrives in Alphaville and he's immediately fucking sick of it.
Yeah, he's instantly doesn't want any help with his bag. And you think it might be about his suitcase not being like something precious in. He's just, get off, don't help me. All of the sort of, what do they call them? The seductress level 3 women.
Yeah, level 3 seductresses. I don't know if they are like robots.
Robot
prozzies
or women that are indoctrinated.
Yeah, I think everyone. Yeah, everyone
like indentured
in
servants or something.
Yes. That's the word I was looking for. They've been indoctrinated and kind of turned into effectively robots, but not physically
They got numbers on like sheep. So, you know, you're meant to have sex with them, therefore, is my logic. That's how I knew. Yeah. I was like, numbers on it. It's meant to have sex with it.
Wow. I don't want to dig out your barcode battler.
Oh dear. I was trying to make a link between what they do to sheep and Welshmen, and it didn't work. And I'm sorry.
I get it.
We get it. But I'm just saying I fuck things with numbers on, which doesn't work.
Which is very strange, because that's a lot of things.
Anyway, they're like
calendar.
I mean, people know what numbers are on. Well done, everyone. This is going well.
A thermometer.
Just going to name things to have sex with and all. Anyway, the one of the reasons we might like him is he isn't willing to entertain
any of this.
Yeah, he's not nice to him, and he sort of isn't going to exploit them.
Tolerates their presence.
And he cares about art, and he's like curmudgeonly in that this place is a dystopian future, and he's like, oh, it's bollocks, don't like being here. So that's something. But then he's a chain-smoking, aggressive man who doesn't see... dispassionate as well, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that he... Because in-universe, he's supposed to be American, but he is extremely French.
Oh my god, I can't unpick this story because it is so obtuse and like
I think you might be overthinking it. I think the reason you can't unpick it is it's fairly simple. Like, he just arrives, he pokes around a bit, the computer tries to kill him with like different like agents and stuff because it's on to him not being who he
says. They seem to appear suddenly and out of nowhere and then are dispatched easily, and he doesn't care about them. And obviously the idea is Alphaville, the people who live there and work there are used to this kind of 1984 style where deleting words from the vocabulary, you're not allowed to say why, you have to say logic is enforced. Yeah, yeah. It's not genuine. It's not genuine logic. It's just a kind of...
It's this high-minded idea of it. Yeah.
It's a high-minded, just anything that sounds practical. Like, it's sort of calculations and practicality logic. It's not genuine logic, because the film doesn't have any logic. Neither the protagonist, who's anti-logic and is a bit more, poetry and fucking love and art. And then, but the fucking machine's in charge, and it's logical to make a world where, there's prostitutes who don't emort? And
I mean, keeps the men happy.
Not just prostitutes, naked women in cabinets, where they're only lit when someone uses a particular set of stairs.
Yeah, that was an odd choice. I mean, it is also a French New Wave movie, so sure.
A bit of wish fulfillment, I think. I think this movie does a good job in predicting the future in that it completely is ahead of its time for the niche type of pornography I think known as, like, oh fuck, what's it called? Like, free to use or something, where passive actresses are used, like, you know, I don't know if you've seen porn, guys, but people have sex in porn. But the kink being the women are submissive, manipulatable women, who disinterested women who are just used in, like, whatever the scenario is. That's a type of porn, I shall tell you. And this invented it in the 60s. that's my observation. Don't out yourselves by responding to that. Let's just move on. The point is, our protagonist is dealing with a world of people who are conditioned to go along with things, but I don't really get why. Like, so a computer, a man, so the guy Lemmy is after a guy called Von Braun, right? And he is a computer scientist who, with his assistance, has put in place a computer that is running this section of the world we are in. The film's a bit vague, and that's someone he wants to meet and find out about and then possibly kill? I don't know if
he wants to bring him back. He wants to bring him back from Alphaville and like
to the nondescript other places that people come from.
The outer countries, which are actually galaxies, which get run by other people, because they offered him one. Is it like kings and...
Yes, I think so.
Like when kings give out lands to people for having helped him and make them the Duke of Ballsville or whatever it is.
But we also, we live in a world where New York and Tokyo and stuff is name dropped as places. So what...
I don't know. And I think the film is deliberately vague about this. Like I don't know how much of the talk of galaxies and stuff is actual. I don't know, because at one point he does talk about like space travel and how like the void of space was something that scared him. So I guess when they talk about galaxies, they're talking about galaxies, and the outer countries are probably colonies. And I would imagine Earth is one of them, which is why he's from Earth. That's why he references places like New York or wherever else.
Well, to me, it's a victim of the limitations. So you got like you got a ambitious thing here to make, which is make a philosophical dystopian sci-fi where you were making a point about logic and art and science versus creativity and imagination and things. I don't know. And I would say, know your fucking limits. You cannot make you cannot make a sci-fi without doing a little more. It's not even the visual style, really. You don't have to fucking make your sets all look like fucking Star Trek. But what you do fucking have to do is think about the world and the universe you want the story to take part in, and explain it to your audience, and not just leave them fucking. Don't work in vagaries, and come up with some concepts that genuinely are intriguing and interesting, not just philosophical talking points that you're hanging off of. A fucking robot that's represented through a light, through a fan, and a croaky voice, and a fucking couple of microphones dotted around the place, and then like. It wants you to do all the heavy lifting. It doesn't make any attempts to like get past its limitations, which is, well, we can't actually show violence. Squibs are beyond us, so we'll just have people executed into swimming pools, and it'll be visually dramatic.
But I think
a lot
of it was like, I doubt they had budget to do much of anything.
Oh, yeah, so they fucking shouldn't have made a film then. Like, fuck you and your fucking critical success. This was unequivocally bad. It did not do it. It didn't do what people say, which was create an interesting sci-fi environment. It didn't. It fucking left everything up to us and our imaginations. All of the little things that this fucking thing did, I'm filling in all the fucking blanks and giving it credit where it doesn't deserve any, because it didn't create a fucking interesting universe. It filmed in a bunch of fucking hotels in around Paris, and it's only now striking how fucking annoyed it is that I'm like, you couldn't do it, and you are loved, and I'm like, fuck off then. Like, seriously, it did not make an interesting universe. It left everything up to your imagination, which now I'm seeing is like, well, the imagination, Rich, is what destroyed the Kapoors. But like, it seriously was too fucking limited to do this. I don't know how people think it succeeded. I'm pissed off now.
Visceral reaction we've ever
had. I've just remembered it going, all the things I'm saying about it are actually interpretations of the bullshit we watched. We watched a load of, a man walks around. Someone gets shot and they ignore it. Some glass is broken. No one gives a fuck. Someone walks in a corridor into a building. He's like, when the dude is captured, he goes into rooms or taken to a room, interviewed by this important alpha fucking 60 computer guy. Some microphones go around, literal microphones go near his head and rotate around.
Oh my God. That was just, I'm sure I've seen a joke like that in... There's definitely a comedy show from the 90s where someone was just getting hit in the face with a microphone, like in their nose and like in their chin. And it's just thinking of that the whole time.
Yeah, it's a little, it is a little funny when you think about it, when you think about it. And like things like, okay, so Alpha 60 is meant to be a voice that I guess is projected through Tannoy, like through Tannoy systems or something, right? But there's no attempt to say, well, this is, let's not hang a fucking prop up to indicate that. Like a film, you're making a film, stick a fucking Tannoy in the top of the corridor and show us that that's where the voice comes from, or create a sci-fi device to show like a node where the sound comes from, or explain it in any way, not just have a fucking voice we don't know why it's talking or who it is for half the film. Like it, the film avoids making any effort to convey its meaning visually. It's just like, nah, just present the philosophical points, have people chain smoke and women be used as objects, there you go. It's lazy, but you know, it is indie filmmaking. I appreciate that, but like, it just fucking, it just feels like no effort will rest on how, you know, conceptual we're being, if you know what I mean. Still annoyed.
I mean, you're
not wrong. I suppose.
I think the context of this coming out in 1965 is the themes it's presenting were new then, but we've seen that done so many times since. And this is the point that I was going to make, that the, because I can't fight back against Rich on all of this, because yes.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but like, we've seen, you know, a lot of the stuff that this film presents done in other films, TV shows, whatever else since, and talked about since ad nauseum. Like, this is obviously a very old film and it's dealing with things that have been issues ever since and still are, but we've also seen it kind of like, we've seen it parodied and made fun of as well. And the bit in this film that got the reaction out of me that Rich had to the entire film was and I feel like I'm betraying myself and my natural pretentiousness by being so upset by this scene, because I get what it is and I understand it in context, but I fucking hated it, was the bit where Lemmy and Anna Karina's character Natasha. Like, I guess, fall in love, and it becomes
they say the word love out loud,
and it becomes this abstract sequence of them like touching each other's faces, and then at one point she's behind him and moves her hands in front of him, and I was like, this is what people who don't like art house films think all out art house films are. Is this one sequence?
I like,
and
you
I am
almost
upset.
Said art house films. Which would have been accurate.
That's the right word, yeah.
I am upset because I saw this scene and I hated it, and I realised that that's what everyone thinks I like.
Well, this is making a case for love conquers science and tyranny, yes, through logic. And it's like, it doesn't understand what love is. He's not a loving man. He doesn't have anyone to love. He just picks a woman who he's had a conversation with in a bedroom. Yeah. And is like, we'll say love. It's like, Abby, I think you were saying, like, it's the, I don't know, the, like, the French understanding of love, which is an afternoon's affair or something. I don't know. What were your thoughts, Abby, on it, the film's interpretation of the love they have, supposedly?
Well, I understand that films have to compress stuff for time. But since I had no idea how much time had passed at any point, as far as I was concerned, they'd known each other for about, I don't know, cumulatively half an hour.
Yeah.
So for to say I'm in love with you, I'm like, really?
And is she one of the sex servants or not?
I think all women in this society are.
I was thinking that, but we saw like a role. One black woman in like a lab coat wandering around a facility, and I think, I don't know, someone working on a computer somewhere, pressing buttons and taking notes on a piece of paper.
There was like a female guard as well with the rifle.
Oh,
there's
a, yeah.
There's, but there's no female characters that aren't, you know, sexist.
Yeah. I think she, and she is the daughter of Von Braun.
Right.
Who is okay. Now Dr. Nosferatu. And
and he's just...
No,
he's
the other
just...
way around.
Oh, sorry. So, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
And he's just... Yeah. What's his... See, okay, here's the thing. The film 1984, which I think is, does a similar, like, dystopian guesswork of the future, jump into the future, what's it going to be like? Or it could be quite dystopian and the world's controlled and we're monitored and forced to be a certain way and conform, and we're just hamsters or ants in a forced to do a thing. And so in that, though, there's, like, the infrastructure of fascism has taken over. So yes, there's worshipping Big Brother on a big screen and the thought police and things like this, but it has a man trapped in something tangible that we can understand. He's got a world lives in, and like characters to talk to and relate to. And this is just like, you can, like, are the main characters just put in buildings, questioned, and then he could just wander off.
Well, I think
whenever he feels
problem,
like, take pictures, and no one does anything. And,
the problem with comparing those two is they are part. They are vastly different genres of film. Like,
this is the closest Alphaville is to something. Is 1984? Like, it is dystopian future with like controlling.
Yes
forces.
And no, though, because it's also very. Like, it is a very French New Wave film. it is tackling the same ideas and the same themes, but it is doing it in a dramatically different way.
Yeah,
that is
one
an
is
entirely
doing it
different
bad,
genre.
And one does it good.
I knew that was coming. I don't think same.
Take the simile away. This film. Let me call Mr. Caution. He's pulled in by he's interviewed and suspected of, I don't know, going against the grain of what Alpha 60 wants, or the parameters of the laws in this region.
He's suspected of being a spy from somewhere else.
And he is a spy, and they're on to him, and he's like, you can go, but also feel free to wander through general rooms. I mean, this just finds any setting that looks modern and has him walk through it, and that's like, I guess that's a sci-fi then. Oh, the stairs are modern. They go around in a circle. He should fucking go.
I think part of it is they want him to, like, be one of them. Like, they talk about how they use, like, they send their brainwashed people out to other colonies to, like, bring more people in.
So how are they going about that? By just letting him go back to his hotel and not doing anything? People try and kill him, but who are they working? There's no context for fucking anything. It's just free-form, wandering notions of, you know, sad societies. Like, he spends ages just talking to another spy, is it? Who's fucking a prostitute and also having a heart attack or something.
And meanwhile... he's got so many different names. Ivan is hiding behind a wardrobe door, but not in the way you expect. Like, it's open and he's on the front side next to the wardrobe.
It was a bit weird when his his other spy friend is like, all right, you sit there and watch. I'm going to have a go on this girl.
Rome.
Yeah. One of the things that character introduced that comes up a couple of times that I quite liked because it's very subtle is his weird tick when he starts to feel things. And there are a couple of times where other characters who are sort of just incidental and don't really serve much of a purpose have similar ticks. There's a scientist who, like, blinks too much and too forcefully whenever he's, like, questioned. I just like that little bit of, world building. I guess the idea that people
trying
have these,
to
like,
show
physical suppression signs of emotion.
Yeah, but we like I don't think we have a context for what How do the people who are suppressed feel? How are they kept in check? Why are they going along with it? Why, if Limmy can leave and go back to where he's from, why can't they leave? Do they want to be there?
I think
what's
some
their
of them
incentive
do. I think
for
that's...
staying? Is there a social structure or a financial structure they can climb?
But then I think the thing about the film is that it both, you know, both it doesn't have these answers, and also it wants us to think
it.
Of the answers.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the thing that I have with this film is it's not here to entertain you. It's here to like make you think. It's a kind of it's very Brechtian style in film where a lot of the choices are very deliberately made that are really odd because it's like the film wants you not to be so passive in it. It wants you to be more active, to think about what's going on.
This
and
is
there are,
why
there are moments where the film is reminding you, don't forget, this is a film.
Yeah.
You know?
This is why, other than Dune, I am not ever going to put a David Lynch film up for like any sort of discussion on this podcast, because most, if not all of them, are like trying to make you think and feel things. And Rich will transport himself through the line and kill me.
Don't get it twisted. I don't mind something weird and art house. I'm not the biggest fan of like dreamlike logic. I agree with Anthony that this film wants you to think about stuff. And I'm interpreting that as the film's too lazy to have thought about it themselves. But I think other people have thought about things they're doing and are presenting you a partially imagined world for you to fill in the blanks yourself.
Right, yeah.
I think in this case, this is fucking student film territory where it's the person, people make it are pretentious beyond their means, and I think they haven't had the creativity to imagine some of the details. So I've gone, well, we leave out the details. If we make it weird, and as you say, Anthony Brechtian, if we present you with images where people like behave weirdly, or the editing's odd, or it gives you things to question visually that seem out of place, it's more like a collage of ideas and visuals than solid, understandable narrative. Then you can go, what's that mean? Is that symbolic or something? Is that a hint of the world they live in, or is that a product of something else? Like, you can muse over this shit if you like, and I can only entertain that so far because I don't have, and I need some structure to sort of you know, build on. If you know what I mean, I need more building bricks that they provide.
I do think the fact that I also found the film frustrating probably does give some points in Rich's favour.
It needs to be compelling. You can't just go, oh, the contrast of people being executed for their stupid like crimes that were insulting into a swimming pool where beautiful swimmers go and fetch their corpses. Oh, look, the world of everyone's so cold and emotionless to these horrific events, and the contrast of beauty and violence. It's like, yeah, all right then. Like, there's not, it doesn't do anything for me. That's like, all right, well, fucking so what though? Like, you need a bit more than like we've turned the footage negative, or we've that, put a flashing light of we've put up like letters in neon or an arrow. It's like, ooh, fucking hell. Ooh, think about that then.
The footage going negative did annoy me because it was like, oh, you realized as you were filming that you could do this and you've done it three times and then didn't. Like, there's definitely some things where like experimental filmmaking is like, it's, you know, experimenting for the sake of experimenting, which again, in the context of when and how the film was made, I get why it is there, but also like it's so far removed now from relevance, I guess is the right word, that it's like watching it for the first time so many years later, it's like, oh, well, this is where this stuff comes from, I guess, but also it's just hard to find it particularly compelling anymore, even if I find the ideas interesting.
Sure. Abby, where do you fall with movies that are more about symbolism and surreal are more abstract and are more there for you to interpret and don't have easy answers. Is that something that can work even if this one didn't for you?
I think, like, I've gotten on with stuff that's more abstract before. As long as there is a journey I can follow, it can be as wibbly-wobbly as they like. But with this journey, it just sort of like, he just seemed to have a series of dead ends that came to nothing.
Well, people fart around just talking for a lot as well. So we might have something dynamic where walk into an interesting hotel room, bit of a fight, like a weird juxtaposition of a woman trying to bathe and a man firing a gun and being dispatched. And then we can go around we could drive around to other locations and get into noirish situations. But then it's like, shall we have a bit of a chat in a bedroom for a good while about highfalutin concepts, isn't it? Like it sits down and goes, let's chat some more. Let's wander boring corridors with a man who needs a fucking Clavonia talking as if he's a gravelly robot. So you know.
A little bit like when I've been at house parties and those other kind of places, and other people are on drugs, but you aren't.
Yeah.
And they're talking to you. And you're following some, but not enough. Not really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is one of those problems with, like, any sort of film that it falls into that art house category, where, like, again, because if you've ever been in a situation where, yeah, other people are high and you aren't, you kind of feel like that. And you're like, well, yeah, I know, but we can talk about this when you're not, like, staring through me and, like, kind of connecting dots. Like, I don't know. There's a couple of points I want to give the film. One, the running joke of the guy trying to get at the hotel bellboy trying to get a tip out of him and him slapping his hand. And the fact that it happens three times, and the third time it happens off screen and you just hear it. I thought that was really good and it made me laugh.
I do appreciate it does have a very subtle sense of humour to it. I think I was so, like, trying to unpick what was going on, and also because you're reading subtitles and it's quite obtuse. You know, there's a lot to concentrate on. You don't pick up on the subtle little things that are there to amuse you. Or just a lot of the emotionless reactions of the people in Alphaville, like people in lab coats and people who talk to our protagonists, their little moments could be funnier if I, you know, was expecting
wasn't so
them.
Angry.
If I was, well, no, I wasn't sitting there angry watching it. I was angry upon completion thinking about it. Watching it, I was like, it's a little boring. I wonder, have I understood? Like, most of the time, you're piecing together the universe with what you got. So you're not angry watching it. You're like, oh God, what's this now? Like, and then getting a bit lost in some of the concepts or dialogue. But I mean, there is something funny about, like, these amateurish looking actors. Well, they've just been given a lab coat and a room with three TVs in, and they're like, you're an important bureaucrat. Look, don't think about it. Just say the words and, you know, make something happen. You know, like, a lot of people are just wandering around. You go, they don't know where they're going or why they're doing it. We're just filming them because we've got this corridor for the afternoon, and fuck it. Like, people talk about it like this incredible new breakthrough in cinema, but actually I felt like, this is people who can't make cinema yet. This is people who don't... Like, it's all well deconstructing the rules of cinema, but they're not... It's not like, say, like Picasso. He can do amazing art before he started doing abstract, challenging art. He had to be a master painter first before deconstructing it. I feel like you haven't proven yourself with, like, a genuine masterpiece before just going, we're botching together the best we can with the budget we got. There's so many limitations. It's a problem.
Brought up this comparison before, but it's like when someone like Tom Waits plays the piano badly on purpose, it's still engaging because he knows how to play the piano properly. so he knows how to hit the wrong notes at the right time to
well,
make
exactly.
it.
And I'm not saying the film was made not by people who can't do it. I'm saying they fucking sorry, don't need to be so angry. I'm saying where this doesn't look like an accomplished filmmaker coming, I've got this great idea. This feels like, I mean, it feels like jazz. It feels improvised, and jazz can go wrong as well as it can be right. Like, it's sort of.
Would you be shocked to know that this film was a largely kind of made up and pieced together as they made it?
Not at all.
And
I believe that's kind of how it was made.
Yeah. So, like a stoned person in a fucking, like someone who's on drugs at a party, you don't sit down and engage with them because they won't remember the conversation. Why should I engage with it intellectually? It's like you can't just fucking bang a load of shit together and say, oh, interpret it as you like. That's not genius to me. That's fucking easy. Anyone can shoot any old shit they want, you know? And it's not the same as, oh, I could have drawn that. It's something abstract. I could have done that, but you didn't. It's like, it's not that I could have done this. It's, this isn't good enough. You have bothered to make a film. Make the effort of writing something decent and having some ideas and not just winging it. You know what I mean? It feels like that requires less effort, you know? I'm not impressed is the thing. I feel that's the main problem. I know, but like, I'm not impressed. And I think a lot of people have come at it like, incredible, revolutionary. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like people have put effort in. I don't know, maybe people are just casually geniuses, I guess.
I do get where you're coming from. And my reaction was, like, while I was watching it, I wasn't the most engaged. Because it started off quite obtuse. Hmm. And it's not like normal kind of narrative cinema. But by the end, I kind of got it, you know. I've got what he was trying to say. I've got the themes. I've got the things that you're trying to think about. And I feel like I've had the epiphany before with other films where it's like, okay, you're not trying to just be the normal film. You're not trying to just entertain us for an hour and a half and pass our time kind of thing. I've had that revelation before that film can do something else. It can be art. It can make you think. And I feel like if this was the first film you saw that give you that realization, you know what I mean? That's why a lot of people kind of like will hold it to esteem.
I've not seen anything like this. What was that about? And then you could sit back and it wasn't just, oh, do you remember that bit where the thing happened? It was like, what? So they were talking into those little things. Yeah. Why was the room like that? Why did the person talk into that thing? God, what was the deal with the numbers? What's that mean? And like, you know, why the south and north thing in neon coming up? Why was the weather different? You know, all you could think about loads of stuff for this. There's a lot of whys and not a lot of becauses in this film, appropriately enough.
If you hadn't seen anything like this before, I can see why there's an impact. It's the same as like the whole ending chunk of 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Like, oh my god, that's why I hate it.
That's why I brought it up. But like again, it was one of those things that like that film generally wasn't really like other sci-fi at the time, and then that last bit of it through the Stargate is like, you know, for an audience in 1968 before people had even fucking landed on the moon, it was really doing some things.
It feels like it's a movie that you watch and then you're meant to go to a coffee shop and argue about it with your friends and chain smoke.
You're meant to do exactly what we're doing right now. So even if we didn't enjoy it, we're fulfilling exactly the purpose of the film.
Yeah, but it's also for like teenage boys to think like, oh, that's cool, isn't it? There was loads of sexy birds in it. And,
no, that's you're thinking of Quentin Tarantino films.
well, I mean,
I'm joking. I like Quentin Tarantino.
He likes
mostly.
This stuff as well, right? Doesn't he? Like, I mean,
I'm sure he's in that list.
Yeah. But like, this feels like, oh, we got sexy women and like what teenagers think is cool, which is like people in trilbies chain smoking and firing guns. And then, I don't know, film the inside of a fucking toaster and pretend it's a computer. Like, you know, it's just, it's kind of just going with, we'll be cool and we'll be weird and that'll be enough. That, I don't know. And it's not enough for me. And other people, like, nom it up. That's fine. Abby, you didn't take notes. You didn't take notes, so we can't ask you for anything we've missed. But are there elements of the film we might have skirted over? Are there virtues in it amongst all of the stuff you maybe didn't enjoy? Are there any virtues in it you liked? Or?
Well, I didn't talk about how, like, visually it is nice. They do some stuff. I give it credit for that. It's more the scripting and stuff like that bothers me. So it's not that they did everything wrong. They did some things right, I admit that.
I couldn't... every time there was mirror stuff, I was like, oh, fucking well done. Like, I was genuinely impressed with some of the creative solutions to filming in imaginative ways were good. I liked some... There was like an overhead headshot of some cars, the brief car chase they have. And
oh, that was another thing I did want to compliment. I liked the odd move he takes with the car chase to turn around and drive back towards them, so they have to reverse so that they don't get hit, and then he can turn around and drive off again and leave them kind of lagging because they're like, oh, what the fuck happened? It's one of those rare, like, what would a car chase be like in real life through a like tight metro area, and it would be a lot of just like awkward turns and not as fast as you imagine it would be. And then he drives down some steps, which was like the most impressive stunt in the film.
It's all right. Something. I think also the ending of this, so I don't know, we mentioned it. It was that he comes up with a sort of poetic riddle or something, and the computer's like, oh, like frog, old, like froggy coughs itself to death or something.
Tim Allen.
Does he actually break anything? Is he also sabotage things physically or not?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He seems to evade capture without having to try a lot of the time.
Well, he shoots a bunch of people.
He does, but people seem to people have him caught and they sort of go free now, go past all the corridors where.
Well, they all go mental because the computer's control over them breaks.
Yeah, it breaks. Like, so, yeah, I was going to say, like, I think one of the things I almost liked was Alpha is the like voice that people could hear. I wasn't quite sure if they could all hear Alpha all the time, if it was meant for us to listen to. But I got the feeling like, oh, is it intended that like Big Brother's voice, like there's like a, not Big Brother's voice, but like there's a constant use of a computer voice. Like in the future, there'll be like we do now, there's like Alexa talking to you. So you phone reception for something, you get the computer voice of Alpha, and also it like talks over this tannoy and it tells you if rooms are free. Like some of the rooms were like occupied and some were free, and it was like saying something similar to that in French as you walk down the corridor. I think if it had been clearer what the fuck was going on, that would have been interesting to have this ever-present voice of the thing that controls the whole city is also the thing you interact with, like fucking Google or Alexa or something. But when Alpha is shit-canned, everyone goes a bit bonkers bananas and wibbly-wobbly and can't walk, except some people who are chasing them down. And then they leave the precinct and what's her face? She's... Like, what's the name of the character? Like
Natasha.
Natasha is also freaking out a bit because she's been there.
Yeah, her programming is breaking, but he's telling her, like...
It'll be fine like, if you just say you love me or something.
He's basically helping her work through it. Like, because, he's, you know...
Through a
she's
mild...
having a bad trip, and he's there as the support.
Say I love you, and that you'll be fine. Take two I love yous twice a day. And
effectively... It's the ending of Blade Runner where Deckard and Rachel make an escape and there's a somewhat of a revelation about one of the characters.
But like, he, what's his deal with her? Like, a little bit of sentiment because they've had conversations. Like, they could have picked anyone to save. He's a bit of a dick, really.
Yeah, I mean,
they sort of shrug off. Will everyone be all right? Yeah, probably. Or dead? They might die, or they might get back to normal after this. Who knows? Who cares? We're leaving. It's all a bit vague, and also somehow
it's all a bit
bleak.
French because they don't. Like, very
it's a
casual.
Such a shrug of a movie.
Care. Yeah.
Anyway.
Take a drag on a cigarette and go, wait.
Suit the law. Fuck. Anyway, anyone else? More thoughts? I don't know. I'm trying. I don't know what else to say.
What is it called? I'm out of thoughts. I regret.
Village or something. You regret what? I regret nothing. Eat it. I fucking like it. I've changed my mind entirely.
I just regret.
Regrets about a few.
I wish I'd watched this before pitching it to you guys, and I'm sorry that I didn't.
I don't watch Band Apart. That's all right.
I'm kind of glad that I watched the film.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to get caught up in the feeling of actually watching it, which wasn't, you know, the most extremely pleasant of experiences. If I'm being honest,
I'm speaking up for it, but also don't forget, I didn't enjoy watching it.
Welcome to art house cinema.
Like Chinese water torture, I'm glad I've had the experience of surviving it.
But I will say, I've only watched it. I watched it last night, and it's only been a day. But in that day, my feelings have kind of changed because I've ruminated on it, and I understand the film, and I understand what it's trying to do, and what it was going for, and I have respect for it. You know,
I think
I can't. Like, I'm not saying your really visceral reaction of hating it is wrong. I mean, it's art. I mean, it's always going to be subjective.
Yeah, it is subjective.
And, you know, I can't deny your reaction to it at all. I mean, there is that. And I can't say whilst watching it, mine wasn't so far away from that. But, like, as a rumination, like, that I've thought about it for only a day, you know, the fact that my feelings for it have changed so much in just a day is, you know, something
commendable
for the film.
I think you're right in that it's, if you think about it, if it sticks with you in your mind, even if it's like a puzzle, even if you're puzzling over it and you're not, you know, you don't have positive thoughts, the fact that you're thinking about it is better than some dishwater, something we've seen 1,000 times.
Yeah.
If you take away all of the stuff, we delete everything back to the 60s and then this coming out, I'm at least grateful that other people have seen this and been influenced by it, because I think for me it's like it's a baton that was passed, so they've handed off to someone who has really fucking ran with it, people with bigger, better ideas, better budgets, things that are just more palatable to me. Directors have been influenced by it and have made artwork that is better because they've seen it, or even exists because they've seen this. So its influence on people I enjoy, I'm grateful for. I didn't take anything from it to enjoy, but like fucking, like, you know, well done, you know, it, because other people have enjoyed it, I'm glad. I don't begrudge it existing. I'm not like,
I have to say, I really like your analogy of a bat on pass.
Yeah, the shot was fired. Someone had a quick cigarette before launching off. They were like, I've just lit my cigarette. Oh, thank you. And they smoke a couple of puffs of the cigarette. They start running with a bat on. They trip and fall over their own pretentiousness. And then an actual talented runner comes along. That's really good. And then they really pelt off like Mo Farah. Like, you know, not that he was a baton runner, but baton fucking passes are not as famous as like 100 meters runners or whatever Sir Mo Farah was. Question. I'm out of my depth with sports metaphors now. But you agree, you know, the first in the line of a baton pass, well done. Abby, any, you know, happy with our podcast about it.
Well, I'm glad at least one of you got something out of it.
You're just a bit sour, Abby. Like, just literally, could have done without it. Wish I'd picked a different. Literally, just any. Like, there are other new waves that would wind you up, though. Like, you could have picked badly in other ways.
That's Abby, what I think.
Sorry, I was just going to say that you have been having a good run of choices in our podcast. So it must be defeating to get a bad one.
It's not that so much. I think I'm just going to have to shoulder losing some of my credibility by saying I don't like French New Wave cinema. No, I haven't seen what I liked.
You shouldn't give up. Like 400 Blows is a really interesting film. There's a fucking... There's a few out there I've seen also, where I'm like, you know...
Like, you don't have to like everything. Anything that's been lauded as, you know...
No.
Everybody fucking loved Forrest Gump when it came out. I fucking hate that film.
It's bad. It's bad.
I cannot stand it.
But, you know, different reasons. Like, the thing, you think you've got to remember, Abby, is you've got to dust yourself off and spin the wheel again, you know? Like, just because you've picked one you didn't like this time, like, literally, just because there's a style or a few tick boxes that go across a genre or a movement, it doesn't mean the next one won't land on what you like, you know? Like, I don't think... This isn't everyone. This is just has a lot of the just because it has the tropes of other films by the same filmmaker, and you know, there are good ones. It depends what you're after. I mean, you'll always get cigarettes being smoked and a bit of misogyny and trilbies and fucking, you know, crimes being committed very casually. But there are other things that they put in them for fun and entertainment. I don't know. Don't give up your hope. I don't want you to be like, I've tried one and no more. That's not one.
I've watched a few now. And I don't... I just... Navel gazing is not my thing.
I think Abby just doesn't like the French.
Racist. Get all right, I'm getting on my bike covered in onions and pedaling away before you start slagging off accordion music and stripy tops or something. Abby, you wear berets. You can't hate the French, can you? You don't truly... It's just New Wave. You're not...
Specifically French New Wave cinema. Okay?
Yeah.
I think it's probably safe to say we're probably not going to do another one on the podcast.
Good.
It's not safe. I'm already thinking of the ones I like.
This is the surprise here is Rich's switch from visceral fury to, right, well, now this podcast is going to be nothing but French New Wave cinema.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very much. I've come to realize that like, no matter what you think you don't like, there'll be someone who can present that to you in a way you do. Like you go, I fucking hate. You know, it can be like a food thing where it's like, I hate. It's like Saturday kitchen fucking food heaven or food hell where I hate these ingredients, and then you get a genius chef. Uses them, and you're like, suddenly I like fucking beetroot and lemon and, you know, all stuff you hate. Like, you just need to, you know, to, like, just stick at it. It's the same with jazz, right? Jazz is a fucking terrible genre of music, but if you keep at it, if you keep fucking giving it a go, there you'll eventually find some jazz you like, and then you might even develop a taste for it. Like, you know, like when middle-aged people start liking olives out of nowhere, you know, you can't eat them as a child. No child likes olives. And then, bam, suddenly, you know, you're 40 and you could drink wine and olives all day. What are we talking about? Olives? Drink olives, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in a martini, drink them. I still don't like olives. I don't know, I just thought that is something people get a taste for, isn't it? Maybe, Abby, you'll get older and you'll be like, I fucking love French New Wave now. You'll just mature into it.
Nearly 40 now.
Yeah, I was gonna say like
plus new wave. Although you have to get younger because new wave is for young people. It's like youth culture represented in cinema. Like that's why the French love their own creation is because it's finally young people smoking and being cunts in coffee shops. That's us. We love it. Like we're finally represented. Like, I can understand the French loving it, but, like, you know, you have to be young and a pretentious wanker who's just done one semester in film school and you love it. That's the true audience, isn't it? People who haven't got sick of movies yet. Anyway.
I
mean,
I do remember, like, reading something about Godard, and I think he always said, like, you know, I always made the films for me and my friends. But the thing is, friends were all French, pretentious
film students.
Yeah, this is why I
critics.
This is why I should never make any films because of who I am and who the people I associate with are.
What's the sweet spot? Like, because when you're young, you're a dickhead, you don't know nothing, and when you're old, you're a curmudgeon-y old windbag. Where's the sweet spot? Like, I don't think you ever get in the sweet spot because
there isn't one. Basically,
you get past it, and you don't know what's good and cool anymore, and then you get fucking old and bitter, and like they didn't make things like they used to, and like there's never a time where you're actually correct and right. Like, surely, I think you have to be between 25 and like 39 is the time where I have seen enough, but I have not become desensitized and depressed. So no, it's not even that. They're the worst wankers of all people vaguely our age currently.
So us is what you're saying.
I was saying us, but I'm like, oh, I pricks as well. Humans shouldn't make anything. We should live in a world where a computer.
Now you're on
everything.
The side of the film, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So, it's a roller coaster, Rich.
I know. It's more than anyone. Rich has really been through some things with this pick.
put us in the fucking Matrix things and, you know, just we'll live in a fantasy world and just milk us like cows. I don't care anymore. Like, what's the point? Let AIs make art. Who needs art anyway? People just scroll over your art in a second. Oh, great. AI's making art now. Yeah. So they can not fucking like it and just scroll past, leaving no comments or likes or feedback or love or fuck off.
Alphaville, the film that gave Rich a mental breakdown.
This is a full on, like, this that film has ended section. Up being an intervention.
Yeah, I don't know.
Before we drag this on any longer, my final takeaway is, for me as a big Blade Runner fan in particular, this film sits in an interesting place between the book Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep and Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. It sort of sits somewhere in the middle of those. I think I'm in the same boat as Anthony. I'm mixed on how I felt watching it, but I also, it's one of those films that I like.
Well, Anthony knew how he felt watching it. He felt a bit bored, but then after the fact was like,
But I think it's one of those films that I hadn't ever seen. I'd never actually heard of this one. But I am glad I've seen it, and I appreciate where it sits in history and more than anything, the influence it's had on a shitload of directors who I really love, and their work, where I can see a direct through line. Interesting thing, though, that Godard did say a couple of years ago that he apparently doesn't like David Lynch's films. So I feel okay saying that I didn't enjoy this, even though I do appreciate it. And
so
again,
you have to pick sides, like, you know.
No,
like
I do.
Battlefield.
No, I do. I need his approval. One day I'll get it. And again, you can also like whatever you like. Maybe my opinion is completely invalidated because I'm on here fucking defending the Super Mario Brothers movie every week. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, the point is not to come to a definitive answer about what we think is. It's just a discussion. The discussion is for its own sake, isn't it? That's, I feel like I've been influenced by this bloody film. Like,
yeah, no, it has hit you more than anyone, and I am shocked that that is the outcome here.
Oh, it's the real treasure is the fucking lessons we learned along the way.
Rich was Lemmy Caution all along.
Right, there's one cautionary tale I could have done without. Thank you very much. Whatever. Fucking Alphaville, you begrudging piece of genius trash. I hate you. I hate what you've done to me. You made me confused. I don't know who I am anymore. Anyway, catch us again for probably a less infuriating chat, but fingers crossed.
Guarantees.
Yeah, no, I don't know why I'm saying fingers crossed. Yeah, literally, don't bet on it. Right. Toodle, pip, bon voyage, etc.
Goodbye.
Oh, just I was going to say a thing that is off topic, but I'll just say that I watched the film Blackbird, the Michael Flatley film.
Oh my god, why?
I mean, it's Michael Flatley's vanity project where he tries to be Humphrey Bogart come guest James Bond. Very bad, but not in a fun way.
I felt like the trailer is probably more entertaining than the film itself.
Yeah, I mean, he wears the fuck out of a bunch of trilbies, and it's a bit annoying that he only ballroom dances rather than he doesn't do any like Irish dancing. The one little joke he makes to reference his actual career is when they do about to have a gunfight towards the end, and he goes, shall we dance or let's dance or something? And I was like, I see. It's really like all sexy women and then really old Irish actors, or like a bunch of like middle-aged old actors being his gangster mates, and then he's got just attractive women everywhere, and it's just in nice hotels or villas he owns. And it's just boring. It's really like slow, and like he doesn't know what he's doing. There's a funny bit where he's depressed about, I don't know, he kills a guy and he's sad about it, and then he drinks a whole bottle of booze on the beach to himself and wakes up on the beach, like, and you're like, and then he's fine, and you're like, all right, mate, you can drink a lot, can you? Fucking hell. It's off. Anyway, it was bad. Not funny bad. That's all I wanted to say. Let's do the pod, though. Don't go... If you're curious, no. I've done it. You don't have to. I'm the canary that died in that fucking...
I like that you did it, and Abby apparently was just not involved in any way.
Abby, any thoughts on... Do you feel abandoned?
Oh, no. No. I came home, and I simultaneously felt bad that you had watched it and felt good that I hadn't.
Oh yeah, if it had been good, it would have been a pod thing. It was hard to come by, actually. Doesn't matter. Eventually torrented it. My God, I didn't pay. I get close to being like, oh, I might pay for this. I might pay like £4.
Oh my God. Well, as long as you deleted it 24 hours later, which I'm sure you did, because...
Which I deleted it from my mind. It's really like, what a waste of money.